never settle, unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips and experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Valentine's Day Friday, coming to you live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. It's a happy hour Friday as well. But first and foremost, happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there driving around. I think my wife's listening right now as well. So happy Valentine's Day to you. Good morning to you, Abe. How are you?
It's Sweetheart Week here at Twin Peaks Buckhead.
What's well, good timing?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty good.
Good timing to have Sweetheart Week end with Valentine's Day today. What else happened on Sweetheart's Week?
You got
a mango shot. You got a deal on a mango shot. That sounds like something you drink.
It's a shot.
Spicy mango shot.
Oh, nah, you're losing me. Oh. Outside of wings, I don't really handle spice that well.
All right.
You can get some good wings. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day. Is that something I can say
not
to
really
a fellow feller?
You can.
I did.
It's fine, you did.
I'm doing
you.
Pretty well, man. It's just every Friday. Just Fridays are great. I know I got to work a little bit over the weekend. I'm excited for the shows, but like Fridays just feel, even if you don't have the weekend off, like Friday's a Friday.
Yeah.
I started this morning with a long run. I got that out of the way. That makes you feel good. I'll crash at about like 2:30. Like, I'm going to fall hard because between waking up early to run and then the run itself, it'll take it out of you.
Yeah. We started the day by putting together just a multifaceted Valentine's Day spread for the daycare and the pre-K. My wife, like I mentioned earlier in the week, has a week off, so she's had more time for crafting and all kinds of, cool stuff like that, but also, like, really detailed stuff like that. So we're up until, like, whatever, I don't know what time last night, putting together different, like, Valentine's Day cards for all the kids in their various classes, delivering cupcakes to the classrooms today and, like, books and all kinds of different stuff. So I feel like if you have one of my kids in your class, it's good on holidays. Like, you really get taken care
above
of.
Above and beyond.
Classes. You just get a lot
spoiled.
Of stuff. It's like, oh, good, we have Jack Bunker in our class. That means we're going to get tons of cupcakes on holidays. We're going to get cool Valentine's cards when Valentine's Day comes around. The teachers are going to get, like, gift cards every single holiday. Like, we're really going for it. We're trying to make sure everybody feels appreciated.
When you were a kid, and I imagine it's still the same way, like, you kind of had to get a Valentine for, like, everyone in your class.
There's a certain point where that stops.
Yeah.
I think, like, first, second, third grade, whatever, you just kind of come to school with, like,
30 of them.
When we were
50
kids.
50 of them. It's a weird pack.
It was, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, yeah. Valentine's cards.
There's
or
no real
like
message,
that.
Just to and from.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then, at a certain point, you graduate to,
uh-oh,
all right.
Only a couple people give.
I'd like to give Rachel Barrett a Valentine's card specifically. You know, I'd like to make sure she knows specifically that she's the one that I care the most about. And then that's a gamble. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, that's your first opportunity as a young person to go out, like, put yourself out there like that. And sometimes it goes good, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes Rachel Barrett doesn't want that Valentine, and then you get embarrassed in front of the whole class, and that's no fun.
She took the candy, though, didn't she?
Of course she did.
That's not
Of course
right.
She took the box of Sweethearts. Of course she did.
Those are not good candies, by the way.
They're okay.
The little hearts, the chalk, that chalk heart with the little stupid message.
I don't mind them because they're not that sweet.
They're not that good.
They're terrible.
Yeah. What a waste. Calories in, like we talked about. Okay. We talked about like not being in love with the heart-shaped Reese's Pieces. I would so much prefer the heart Reese's Pieces than that chalk. Edible chalk.
They do kind of taste like Tums, but I also
that's my point. They're
but I also
not good.
I also kind of like Tums though, so I don't know. Maybe I'm weird in that way. No, anything that's not chocolate.
Well, Tums
to me
has
is
become Tums has become quite advanced. They now have one if you want gummies.
Huh.
Again, they used to just have the chewable chalk, which were fine, but they didn't used to be flavored. At least not like whatever flavor it says they were. They didn't taste anything like.
Yeah,
now they taste pretty good. I agree with you.
They just had white.
I have a mixed berry bag.
All the Tums was just white. You just had the little white discs, and then if you took two of them in 5 minutes, your heart.
Now I would do Tums every once in a while. I never did the Alka-Seltzer bit where you drop in the water, it fizzes up, and all that. They have flavored Alka-Seltzer now too.
Huh?
They have sugar free or whatever. They healthy. I mean,
what a world! What a world we live in. So the reason we start by talking about Alka-Seltzer is because it's just kind of that time of year, isn't it? I know it's the NBA All-Star Game coming up this weekend. Obviously, we'll be paying attention to it, given that Zachary Risacher is going to be a part of the Rising Stars game, and then the skills competition. And honestly, like, if his Rising Stars team wins, then they get to play on Sunday, too. So Zachary Risacher might be a part of all 3 days. If his team wins tonight, and then he's in the skills competition on Saturday night, and then he could play on Sunday as they're doing this kind of round-robin new format of All-Star Game to try to drum up some interest or get guys to try hard or whatever it is. But that's what's going on this weekend in the NBA. There was a few games last night as the first portion of the season came to a close. I hate to say, like, does anyone care? Because that's not, like, a great topic. Obviously, interest in the NBA All-Star Game is not what it once was. Otherwise, the NBA wouldn't be doing all the things that they're doing to try to manufacture intrigue or to try to keep it fresh or whatever it is. I mean, I keep going back to the same thing of, like, the reason that it's not what it once was is because guys don't treat it like they used to. Like,
right.
If guys took it as seriously, not to say that the All-Star Game was ever this, like, bastion of competition, but it certainly used to be taken a bit more seriously than it is now. They can change the format as many times as they want. If guys are going to show up and go through the motions, then the games are going to suck. Like, it's just kind of what it is. I don't know that this new format is going to change it all that much. Hopefully it does. Shout out to the NHL for trying what they're trying. The Four Nations face-off has been fun. U.S.-Finland last night was a fun hockey game for anybody that might care about hockey. Hopefully that's what this does to the NBA All-Star Game as well. I'm not optimistic about it, but hopefully that's what takes place on Sunday at the NBA All-Star Game.
When you say, does anyone care, are you talking about the players or are you talking about fans?
I think it's both.
Because I think
fans care less because players care less, and I think it's sort of I think they tell us what to care about, and I think their interest in the All-Star Weekend has resulted in fans' interest in the All-Star Weekend declining.
I don't need them to play as hard as possible, right? Like I understand they're not going to go 100% on defense and all that. What I don't like is just the complete. When it turns into, oh, I'm going to shoot from 40 feet, then you're going to shoot from 40 feet. Or it turns into...
It's just a mockery.
Or when it turns into a dunk contest and they're just traveling and no one's called. Like, right. And not that they do that during the season, too. They don't call travels. But, like, these are even more egregious than regular season games. And to me, again, I don't need to go full bore, but play basketball a little bit. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing for me. And if you're relaxed on defense and a guy hits a three, fine. But, like, this, I'm going to let this guy shoot from three because it's the All-Star Game and he's a three-point shooter. And look, I love seeing Trey do it, and he's probably going to do it on Sunday.
Oh, sure.
And Curry's going to make it on one end, and Trey's going to make it on the other. And it's going to be a little bit of fun. Just make them work a little bit.
Yeah, they're not.
Like, just a little bit.
They're not going to. The game's going to suck. It is what it is. The cool thing about that, I'm sorry. Like, it's just kind of, you know what I mean?
You're not wrong.
That's just where it's at. The All-Star Game for me is more just kind of like a fun check-in on, all right, you got a little pause point in the season. Who's good? Who do you really think has a chance? What has happened in the first half of the season? And I don't think I don't think we've had a what has happened in the first half of a season bigger than what has happened in the first half of this season in years. Like, we're legitimately going to an All-Star game where Luka Doncic is a Los Angeles Laker. That's crazy. I know it happened more than 2 weeks ago now, or 2 weeks ago now, or whatever it is. I'm still dumbfounded that that actually took place. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out throughout the second half of the season as he sort of gets into shape and all of that kind of stuff. But, like, that's what the All-Star break is for me now. It's like, all right, take stock on some of the things that are happening in the league. Certainly, you know, from a local perspective, the Hawks are not where we maybe thought they would be about a month ago, given
they're also not
injuries.
Where we thought they'd be 2 weeks ago, though, like, based on
they're better than I thought they were going to be when the season started. And then we kind of saw what it
right.
could be when everyone was healthy and all of that. And then you got kind of pumped about,
but,
all right, who
but
knows?
For the moment, they're now also better than I thought they'd be when Jaylen went down.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, what are they, about 4-4 since he got hurt or something like that?
I didn't
say
they're champions. I just, you know what I mean?
Well,
season hasn't completely fell apart. A lot of us thought it might, to an extent.
Right, yeah. I think that's fair. But it's been an interesting first half of the season for them where didn't really know what to expect at the beginning.
Felt good about it, 25 games in.
There were times where they really started to play some good basketball and you felt good about it. And then, unfortunately, Jaylen gets hurt and you kind of have to reset expectations. And then the trade deadline happens and they've actually played pretty good since then. And they've gotten a lot of production out of the guys they acquired at the deadline for DeAndre Hunter and for Bogey. All that said, like, you know, expectations still have to be pretty mild given the talent on the roster and all that kind of stuff. They're probably still a play-in team for the fourth year in a row. But, yeah, that's where they're at. You just kind of look around the rest of the league as well and just think about who can do it, who can't do it, who added what, and all that kind of stuff. Nothing crazier than the Luka
story. No, there's nothing even close.
Season,
did you see the rumor out of Dallas that after getting injured, the Mavericks are – I mean, it's obviously a shot in the dark. They're saying they didn't do a full – physical, and they're going to try and find a way to get that trade rescinded.
Now, full physical on Anthony Davis?
On AD, yeah. Now, there's no way that happens.
No,
it's not going to happen.
But,
I mean, hey, man,
who's
valiant
saying,
attempt.
Who's saying
I forgot who. It may have been fake. But
okay.
Valiant attempt, if true. We all know it's not going to happen. Can I tell you what I do want more from the All-Star game? In these fringe sports kind of bring out some good stuff. Like the original XFL brought out the Skycam.
Sure.
And
then
some of these things have some benefits.
Yeah.
TGL, and we're going to talk a little TGL a little bit later, but like the ability to hear those guys throughout the game. I would love to see, and we see it in baseball, on Sunday Night Baseball, certainly in All-Star Game and spring training games. I would love players to be more mic'd up during the All-Star Game.
Okay.
If you're not going to do it in the regular season, let me hear what they're talking about as some guy's ripping his fourth straight three from 27 feet. You know what I mean? Like, give me a little bit more out of those guys.
Yeah. Because
there's some good personalities that we don't really know beyond kind of what they do on the court and maybe post-game press. I mean, obviously,
I always feel
podcasts,
like you should also have access to, like, a secondary, like, NC-17 feed where you can actually hear what the guys really say. You know what I mean? Because if you have them mic'd up, you have to edit it. It's on ESPN or whatever channel the game's
sure.
on. Like, then also, if you had that streaming option or something like that where you're allowed to actually hear the real trash talk and the cuss words, I think that would make it way more fun. Like, because you could buy access to the conversation between a driver and his pit boss, his pit chief, in racing. And those guys swear at each other all day long, and it's great. I would love to actually hear it. Like Jason Tatum being like, ha, 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 blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I know we got to go to break. I get it. Just trying to make my point about cussing and how I like it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here on a Happy Hour Friday. It's also Valentine's Day as we broadcast live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Thanks for being with us. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Maybe 90-95%. I feel great. That's the priority. But the last time is hard because they do the menisco. Mm. But I feel great. That's the more important thing.
So that's the voice of Ronald Acuña from earlier this morning at Braves spring training, taking questions about how he feels. Said he feels about 90-95%. Says he feels like he's on a better track than he was the last time he was recovering from a knee injury. And he said last time it was more about getting the meniscus taken care of and sort of feeling good, and he's not dealing with that this time. Honestly, one of the biggest headlines from that is, and I've never really cared that much about this, but it's cool that Ronald Acuña has taken this upon himself, that he's doing all of his interviews in English. He had his translator there with him and said pretty much translator lost his job over the offseason because of how hard Ronald Acuña was working on his English. It sounded great to me. Again, not that it was ever all that big of a deal as to whether or not Ronald Acuña was answering questions in English or not, but something that he's been working on, so good for him. 90-95% sounds about right, given where he is recovering timeline-wise from that injury, and hopefully he gets to 100% as soon as possible, so we can watch Ronald Acuña play baseball. I mean,
Do you want me to get into it now, or do you want to save it for 12:20? Because I don't understand what 90-95% is over the next month if we're not going to see him.
Well, I think it means that he's about 5-10% away from 100%, and that they're not going to risk re-injuring anything in exhibition
games. And I understand that, and I agree with that decision. By the way, I don't know, just feels like maybe he feels better than the team feels he is, and sometimes you have to protect guys from themselves a little bit, right?
And maybe that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. And with Ronald Acuña, I think that's a reasonable...
And he's good enough to where you absolutely... And he's young enough to where you err on the side of caution. Because it's not about getting him back this year. It's obviously about this year, but also next year and the next 7 years.
Yeah, right. It's about his long-term health. The other thing is... There's nothing that he's going to do in spring training that's going to dictate what you use him for when he's available.
I also think like, that they don't trust him to protect him from himself.
That's possible. Yeah.
And you know guys get competitive.
I think that's possible.
He made a mention of it. He said, I get on the base paths.
Yeah, I play how I play.
I want to play easy, but exactly. I get on the base paths, and the guy doesn't check me back to first, then I'm going.
Which is exactly what Ronald Acuña should do.
Which is exactly what the team also doesn't want him to do just yet until, like you said,
which is why there's
100%, 100%.
No, and when the games matter.
Yes,
like,
yes,
if Ronald Acuña is going to be going from first to third on a single, let it count.
In Northport?
Yeah, let's not do it in Northport and have an opportunity to re-injure. And again, you're not thinking about it like that, but you are thinking about it like that. And again, like, protecting someone from themselves is the job of the organization. Like, guys are always going to think that they're better off than they are. This is something we talked about with Kirk Cousins a couple weeks ago when we learned about him being injured, right? It's like, well, whether he told you or not, isn't it your job to also of know?
Yeah.
Like, to have a little bit of the finger on the pulse of what your guy's capable of, and if something's wrong, maybe think about why and be asking why and be maybe a little bit more diligent about that and not just be like, well, he says he's okay, so I guess we're going to roll him out there. Obviously, it's a different situation because you're in spring training and the games haven't even started in spring training yet, and that's in the middle of an actual regular season. But, yeah, the team should be looking out for Ronald Acuña. He's their most important player.
And at the end of the day, if you need Ronald Acuña Jr. to make the playoffs this year, a lot of other guys aren't doing their jobs or certainly not doing it to the level. And I'm not saying win the NL East. I think there are some good teams. But this should still be a playoff team with or without Acuña.
I agree.
They stand a chance
with
Acuña.
Right? But if Acuña is at his best for as long as possible and really at his best then by the end of the season, you're not winning the World Series without Ronald Acuña.
No, like, but you should still be making the playoffs,
and
at least in that discussion.
And they did last year, and I think that they probably would this year too. But I also think the ceiling for the team is dictated by the health of, like, three or four guys, and he's one.
Yeah, but and I don't disagree with that comment. There's just no ceiling on any baseball team that's competitive because you just get hot at the right time. Like, we've seen it year after year. If you're going to be in the playoffs, who knows what the rotation looks like? Who knows what happens in the midst of games? I mean, we've seen it here, right? What were they, 84 wins the year they won the World Series? Like, it's just baseball's the only sport you say it about.
Right.
Just get there and see what happens.
Yeah, that's right. But
we're having that talk about the Falcons, right? They could get to the playoffs. They're not winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
If the Braves get to the playoffs, they could win the World Series.
Right, which is why you want to have your best guys healthy when that comes around and not playing in Northport. You know what I mean?
I agree.
That's why it doesn't stress me out that Ronald Acuña is not playing in spring training. All right. Let's hear from the final head coach hire of the offseason. They had to wait to get him because he had to win the Super Bowl first. But Kellen Moore was introduced yesterday in New Orleans. Here he is talking about the Saints.
We have an exciting, exciting future for New Orleans football. Our number one goal is to create an environment that allows every player, coach, and staff member to be their best.
All right, so that's
winning is your number one goal.
That's what Kellen Moore
sounds
like.
I would say if I were head coach, maybe.
That's what Kellen Moore sounds like for everyone who's never heard him talk before. That's a good, solid, you know, textbook opening press conference answer.
I would hate. Okay. No. Hold on. No. Because if I had, and you know, I love Raheem Morris, and I don't remember, maybe he said this and I didn't get mad enough about it. I want my head coach to come in here and says, our primary goal is to win and win big. I want Dennis Leary from draft day coming in. We won a lot, you know, with the championship ring. Like, tell me you're going to win and win big, and that's the goal. And we're going to do that through fostering this and that. And
he probably did. That was like a 10-second clip from a 45-minute press conference. But
I don't think Bo cut that out, though. He started with, my primary goal is to foster this culture, blah, blah, blah. No.
Win and
win big.
Okay.
That's how you win the fan base over. Am I wrong?
I mean,
That's what I want to hear as a fan.
You're not wrong, but also, like,
none of it matters, ultimately.
Yeah, I know. It's like, introductory press conferences are so overrated. Like, Nick Sirianni couldn't put together a sentence, and 3 years later,
Dan Campbell's doing
champion.
Nonsense. He's,
Meanwhile, we've had how many press conferences have been won in this city over the last couple of years?
Dude.
Remember when Kirk Cousins did his introductory press conference, and people, oh, my God, he's so charismatic. I can't wait for him to – yeah, all right. Well, he also – you know.
I'm just telling you, just being honest, what I'd want to hear if I were a fan.
Here's what needs to happen there, like, honestly, as much as, you know.
It's going to be a rough year.
Winning is the long-term goal, of course.
We're going to get through it together, and we'll build from there.
They need to suck as much as possible for an entire year. Like, they got to deal with all the stuff money-wise that they've built up over the last handful of years, kicking the can down the road. They got to deal with Carr, and I know he talked about him yesterday, and he's excited to work with him, blah, blah, blah. That's what you say. Obviously, you give non-answers about guys that are currently under contract. They got to move on from him. I would have Spencer Rattler starting every single game, even if he was injured, because I'm trying to lose as many of these games as possible so I can have the number one pick in next year's draft.
Who's the other guy? The
and
other
I can
guy's
start
worse
rebuilding
than Rattler, right?
This thing. Nah, Jake Haner. He's a Husky legend.
He's definitely worse than Rattler.
That's a good question. I don't know.
He's definitely worse than Rattler.
They're both pretty terrible. I don't know which one's worse. They're both awful. But yeah, whoever, whichever one's worse, that should be the competition in the summer for the Saints. That's the open competition. Who sucks more? And then you're the starting quarterback as long as you can actually walk, because we're trying to go 0-17 next year so we can get the number one pick and take Arch Manning and get people excited about this franchise.
Now,
franchise.
He obviously can't say that in his press conference.
Of course not.
But as a fan, I'm also understanding of that mindset. Like, all right, so I want him to come in and say we're going to win and we're going to win big. I'd also be like, if we understand that the process is we're going to lose – And then we're going to win big.
Well, because here's the thing. We talked about this earlier in this week about what fan bases are willing to accept. Fan bases will accept winning, and fan bases will accept a plan that seems logical for a little while until it starts to fail, and then they won't accept.
Well, the plan has to follow the plan.
But
once you stop following that plan.
Even winning isn't good enough after a certain point. You have to be winning big and winning championships.
Well, that's like, the 76ers stuff, right?
That or, I mean, even like the, I don't know, like the Steelers. Like, they win. They went to the playoffs this year. They've never had a losing season. But they're tired of that being the standard. They want to win championships.
I think they are widely just not as close as that fan base thinks they
are.
No,
I don't think they are
either.
It
does not help the cause.
I just don't think being like, well, we make the playoffs every single year. Well, cool. We lose in the first round every single year, too. You know what I mean? Like, you can hang your hat on that as long as you want to, but the standard has to be a little bit higher than just making it, right? Anyway, we'll get back into some of the other things that are going on this weekend. There is a lot happening this weekend. It's just the first weekend we've had without major football in quite a while. It's also list season. I mean, the Super Bowl happened, so now it's list season.
I find them, too.
We got the NFL tiers list. Where do the Falcons rank as far as serious contenders in the NFL headed into the offseason? So we'll get into all that coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday, Valentine's Day Friday, broadcasting live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Come by and say hello this hour of the show. Brought to you by Padley, sell your home for cash fast, PadleyBuys.com. We'll get into that NFL tiers list in just a minute here. As Abe Gordon filling in for Randy today, Randy will be back on Tuesday. We're both off Monday. President's Day?
Yes.
Is that what it is? President's Day. So we'll be off Monday, and then Randy will be back with us on Tuesday. Couple of other things going on this weekend as well beyond just the NBA All-Star Game, which certainly we'll be keeping an eye on. Number one versus number two in college basketball tomorrow, Alabama and Auburn. That should be a fun one. Now, it's number one versus number one if you look at different polls too, right? Because Auburn's number one in one poll and Alabama's number one in another poll. Which either way, it's going to be fun. Should be a good game. Georgia hosts Missouri tomorrow as well. And then Atlanta United has their final preseason friendly tomorrow right here on 92.9 The Game. They released their new kits.
Yes.
For 2025, the connector.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and it looks nice. It looks... Mm-hmm. It looks you know, like a traditional Atlanta United kit for the most part. I'm sure there's some minor tweaks that I'm not noticing.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I do see is on the shorts, it looks like there's sort of like a kind of like a red stripe down the side diagonally a little bit, which is kind of nice. I don't know if I've ever seen any color on the shorts before outside of black, which is cool. But, yeah, get your new Atlanta United kit now available as well.
Yeah, there's a couple, like, smaller details that are, you know, carry meaning, and that's one of the things that Atlanta United has done. It look, you're going to look at it and say it looks pretty traditional,
looks
pretty
red
similar
and
to the kit. And
it's got five stripes
on
it.
It's the five stripes red and black kit. And,
what was funny is when the main one went away from having five stripes, it had like a million stripes on the front of it. And I was
yeah.
Like, well, that's way more than five stripes.
Yeah. So they're – no, it looks sharp. I mean – looks like a kit you can win a title with.
One of my yes, it does. It does look like a championship winning jersey. One of my favorite things to do, and people that aren't in this business have no idea what this is, but let me try to explain it, is when teams do this, there's also a press release that accompanies it. So like every year the Hawks have their city edition jersey,
right.
Whatever. And I think they've all looked pretty cool. And this one, I think this year they look nice too. But they all come out with a press release that there'll be a paragraph or two explaining all the little details that you're talking about and why they went with them. And those are very funny. Those are very funny to read. And the blue represents the promise of tomorrow that we all feel in the city of Atlanta. And the slight little green highlight that you see down there.
May I?
Is a representative of the trees that bless our sacred city. You have it?
May I?
Oh, great. Let's dive into the reasons why the Atlanta United kit looks how it looks this year.
So the kit connects aspects that have long defined Atlanta United with fresh elements that make this edition special. So on the connector kit, five stripes.
The real thing is so much better than me making fun of it.
Five stripes. One stripe for each of our five pillars. Unity, determination, excellence, community, and innovation. The jock tab. The globe that opens up like the roof at Mercedes-Benz Stadium represents Atlanta's place on the stage, the epicenter of soccer in North America. Black base. The base symbolizes the night sky and the stars like when supporters fill Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
See, this is what it is. I'm not kidding.
The gold piping and these threads represent the connection between club and community.
There you go.
That's what we
you
got.
Didn't know. You were looking at a jersey. You didn't realize all that was going on there. Now, again, it's somebody's job to come up with all that. They do a really nice job. It's somebody's job to write all that. I understand it. But, yeah, that's what happens.
I think they need to make over this kit next year.
What do you mean?
I think they need to add a second star.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think
that'd be great.
I know that we're supposed to have these jerseys for the next 2 years, but there might have to be another.
There'll be one tweak.
Might be one tweak next
year. For people that don't know, they've got one star right above the Atlanta United crest. That's because they have won the MLS Cup one time.
Yes.
If they win it again, then there will be two stars. That would be good. I would very much like that to be added to the jerseys next year as well.
Just a quick note, if I may, for Atlanta United's friendly, and we don't know necessarily, but it is going to be broadcast tomorrow on 92.9 The Game at 11:50 a.m. Latte Lath is available.
Oh, cool.
In this game. I'm not suggesting, I don't know if he's actually going to take part, but he is available, which is good news. And I've already seen Miggy a little bit. He actually put home a goal a couple days ago from the PK spot. Dude hit inner post. You just feel bad for goalies sometimes. So that new guys are here, man.
Yeah, love it. Hopefully you get to see him tomorrow, and then the regular season kicks off next weekend, right? Like, we are right around the corner.
Yeah, Montreal comes to town on the 22nd, so next Saturday night.
That's outrageous. MLS season is so long.
7 weeks.
It starts so early.
Seven off-season weeks.
So late, and it's great. Like, I'm glad it's back. I'm looking forward to seeing him play with all the new faces and all that, but it's crazy. I can't believe it's actually here. All right, let's take a look at this list. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN put together his tier's ranking post Super Bowl 59. No surprise, the major contenders tier are the teams that were in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the Eagles. I think that's pretty good.
Accurate.
Pretty smart.
Off to a great start.
Have those guys up there. All right, we'll go down the list. We'll go in chronological order, and we'll stop when we get to the Falcons to talk about whether or not we agree with it. On the cusp, okay, this looks good too. Ravens, Bills, Lions, don't really have any arguments there. They're all pretty good. They'll probably be good next year as well. Needing a postseason breakthrough tier, the Packers and the Vikings. Yeah, I think that's right. I don't know which
I
one
might
of those
put
teams.
Vikings down at least one more notch.
Yeah, I think maybe the Vikings are a little bit overvalued there just because of what this season was.
Next year is called teetering contenders.
Is it going to look like
I would
that
put
when
the
you
Vikings
have a,
there?
Essentially, yeah. A rookie quarterback next year in J.J. McCarthy or whatever it is that they do. I got a great little graphic sent to me on Instagram this morning that ran down all the ridiculous similarities between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and how Aaron Rodgers' final phase needs to be going to Minnesota and disappointing them in the playoffs like Brett Favre did, because everything else has been the same. Like Green Bay, legend, won Super Bowl early and then not able to get over the hump and kind of playoff collapses, and then Willie won't he, holding the franchise hostage, taking forever, going to the Jets, having it not work out. Final phase is going to Minnesota. And anyway, probably not going to happen. Teetering contenders, Bengals, Steelers, and Texans.
Definitely agree with the Bengals. I have some questions, depending on what they can or can't keep as we move forward.
And that's a shame because I don't know if he's done this every single year, but he probably has. I'm sure they were major contenders 3 years ago. They might have been on the cusp 2 years ago, and now they're down to teetering contenders because every single offseason guys leave. I mean, they're retaining some of the talent as well, which is what you have to do, but they're not bringing new guys in. And when you have a quarterback that's as expensive as Joe Burrow is, and you have a receiver that's as expensive as Ja'Marr Chase is going to be, like, then you can't – I mean, you can't miss in the draft.
Yeah.
You have to keep restocking the shelves through the draft, and they just haven't done that.
I have an issue with Steelers and Texans being in this group with the Bengals because I do not view them as contenders.
They're really not. Like,
when things go right for the Bengals, I think they can be. I don't think these teams
aren't.
Right.
The Texans are a little
it's all
bit
fixed
mysterious
now.
To me.
It's all fixed.
Because of
DeMeco Ryans. He said it's all fixed. We have a new OC. All fixed.
And look, maybe. I don't
sure.
know. I mean, there was a lot going on with Bobby Slowik last year to the point where they almost took play calling duties away from him midseason, like halfway through a year where the previous offseason, he was one of the hot coordinators, or at least it seemed like it, in the hiring cycle. Obviously, no one hired him. I mean, they need to clean up their offensive line.
Agreed.
They need to protect their quarterback better. And if they do, I mean, I think they have everything you would want to be a contender. What is a contender?
And
mean?
They got to stay healthy, too.
AFC
injuries took
game.
It out
yeah.
for them as well.
But I think they're in pretty good shape. It just all depends on upgrading a couple spots in health. Then you have on the right track, and again, we're waiting to get to the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Haven't gotten there yet. Broncos, Chargers, Rams, Bucks, Seahawks, and Commanders. I mean, the Commanders obviously are on the right track. They're in the NFC Championship game. Feel good about the Broncos with the defense that they have and the way J.J. McCarthy played. I don't know about the Seahawks. Oh, sorry, not J.J. McCarthy. The way Bo Nix played.
Bo Nix, yeah.
I don't know about the Seahawks.
I got two.
I guess.
The two that I don't know if belong. The Rams are kind of in their own little category of, like, holding on to hope. So they are there. Are they on the right track moving forward? A young defensive line that's made some waves and Kyren Williams is an outstanding back.
It all
they're
depends
have some
on what
real
Stafford
questions.
Does.
Yeah, they're going to have some real questions at quarterback, either with Stafford or certainly beyond Stafford. And the Seahawks, I don't know, man. How do they bridge the gap from where they are now? And that's the question we're asking about the Falcons ultimately, right?
Yeah.
Like, how are they bridging the gap from where they are now to where they need to be
the difference in that
next year?
The difference for the Falcons, and I think the thing that makes you feel good about the Falcons as a Falcons fan, is they have a young quarterback that everybody's excited about. Geno Smith is a fine quarterback.
We know what the ceiling is.
He's a fine quarterback. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl unless he's surrounded by the type of like elite talent across the board that they had when they won 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do it with him, and you've seen it, and it is what it is. Now, they've missed on draft picks a lot too.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll stop drafting running backs so high, like first-round running backs, like they've done a ton over the last 5 to 6 years, and start reinvesting in the offensive line and on the defensive side of the ball. But, I mean, a lot of the optimism for these teams, a lot of where they stand in these rankings, has a ton to do with their quarterback position and how you feel about it. Now, Falcons find themselves on the tier, according to Jeremy Fowler, of stuck in the middle, a move or two away. Now, the Falcons are unquestionably in the middle. They've been in the middle for a very long time. Just look at their record. Hasn't been terrible. Certainly hasn't been good enough to get to the playoffs.
I have a problem with
that. But I think the move was made, and I think we'll see what it looks like when Michael Penix is the quarterback for an entire season.
There's another move that needs to be made, and that's obviously the pass rush, hopefully, potentially this year. I don't mind the title of the tier that the Falcons are in. I think that's probably accurate. I don't like the teams they're grouped with. And also in the same tier are Cowboys, Colts, and the 49ers are a weird discussion anyways. But Cowboys and Colts, it feels to me like the Falcons are in the group above them. But I do think the title of what the Falcons are and where those other teams are okay. But I see the Falcons much more in line with the Buccaneers, the Seahawks, the Commanders, and I know they lost badly, Chargers, Broncos. I see them much more in line with those teams than I do Cowboys, Colts.
Yeah, I don't like the Cowboys-Colts comparison. I think those teams are in different spots.
Yeah.
The 49ers makes a little bit of sense, but even that one doesn't really, just because I think so much of what happened to them last year was dictated
by
injury.
If they trade Debo, what's the discussion we're having? They still got to re-sign Brock Purdy or tag him. Yes.
The only thing that matters for them is if Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy.
And the defense, like, too. They got to stay healthy on defense.
Yeah,
they got beat up pretty bad on the
definitely.
Line.
Definitely. When those guys are healthy on defense, they're one of the best units in the NFL.
For sure.
When Christian McCaffrey's healthy on offense, that offense can actually do what it's built to try to do. But that's the biggest question mark in football, is whether or not that guy's going to be on the field. And, in fact, it's not really, because the answer tends to be no over the last 5 years or so. He was healthy for 1 year in San Francisco. They went to the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he unlocked all of the potential. I think there's a real similarity there between what Saquon was able to do in Philadelphia with all the injuries that he had. Healthy for a year in a legitimate place. Yeah, they went to the Super Bowl, and they won it.
They the Niners also lost running back two. And running back three. I mean, that was...
Yeah, they were decimated.
Because I picked some guys up in fantasy. I had them for 1 week, and I had to go down to the next rung. Running back three, and that guy got hurt. So I'm like, all right.
I think the thing that moves the Falcons one way or another in this ranking, if we're going to fast forward a year from now, and you could just sort of see where they are, if they're higher up on this list, if they're a teetering contender, or they're on the cusp or something like that, that's all dictated by how quickly Michael Penix looks like a franchise.
Oh, see, I don't think that's what dictates it.
I think that they can win. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Obviously,
they're not winning a championship until the defense is fixed.
How many rungs can they jump, though? And look, I'm not – yes, Penix, I agree with you. But I'm comfortable with what he's going to be and where they're at offensively. If they do something on defense, though – And make Braylon Trice comes back and maybe he has an impact and they develop some of the guys we've been waiting to develop. Brook has it. And then draft at 15 and do something there. They're jumping up two rungs if they can just get to average pass rush.
I think they can be teetering contenders after this season.
That's
just based
two rungs.
On, yeah. Even if the pass rush is like...
It can't be like...
Like what it's been. Because it wasn't good this year. And if the quarterback played...
It was good. It was good for... 6 weeks, but it was also the same 6 weeks.
What sucks is the quarterback play
was
good when the pass rush was non-existent, and then the pass rush got good post-bye when the quarterback play completely fell off a cliff.
Penix came in. You had no sacks that last week.
Yeah.
So it kind of went back.
So you gotta match those things.
It's going.
Yeah. You get that post-bye pass rush and the pre-bye quarterback play.
You absolutely are in the group above you in terms of where you are, the teams you're next to.
I just think it's hard to put them there much longer if he lives up to the potential, because that's what dictates it. The reason that all of these teams, the Packers and the Vikings and the Ravens and the Bills and the Lions, are up where they are, obviously the rosters are good, but they got franchise quarterbacks that they can believe in. If Penix is what we all think that he's going to be, I think the Falcons are going to be, I think they'll be fine next year. If they're going to be good, obviously what you're talking about from the pass rush and the defensive perspective has to improve as well. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. We know who's going to the combine. There's some guys who aren't going to the combine as well that probably should be. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates President's Day. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.